B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Right. Load manage him for the rest of his career.
Right.
He should only be playing 64 games a year.
Okay, so last year you could almost argue that it was an injury-free year.
It shouldn't be 48 at once and then 18 of the next 22 off.
Right.
You got to space him out over throughout the season. I don't need him playing 54 minutes versus the Thunder in November.
Right.
These things they learned last year, and they're going to improve on them.
Aren't they supposed to be specialists and not have to have learned them? They should know that going in.
Well, Bob,
that's
you raise a fair point.
Silly question on my part. Silly question. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. And the 8 a.m. hour was brought to you by, I'm sorry, the 7 a.m. hour brought to you by Univest Bank. Handle all your banking remotely with Univest's mobile platform. Easy, convenient, and secure. Live life, stay connected with Univest Bank. Carson, we can't do that with Carson. Now, you can't say, yeah, just give me 14 games with Carson every year.
No, there's no load management with him, unfortunately.
No.
But you would like to see him stay healthy.
You'll kind of take 14 games at this point, right?
Yeah, because that means that the number one seed's locked up.
Exactly.
And it's the final two.
All right.
See what I did there, Bobby? Hey.
So it turns into a 13-3 season because you just gave up the last two games after being 13-1. All right, I'm down with that. Bob from Springfield, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, Bob?
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
Good. Right. How are you?
This is Bob, the math teacher. I called earlier this summer.
Hey, what's up, buddy? Right.
Bobby, number two.
Math is good.
Yeah, okay, good. Thanks. I'm glad I convinced you. I had a road trip. It was my first summer off from teaching. I knew I was going to have to, work in the summers as a teacher. And my first summer, I said, I'm taking off. And I took a road trip. I shipped my road bike out to Great Falls, Montana. And wow. A group of us rode it from Great Falls, Montana to Astoria, Oregon.
And, wow, that had to be gorgeous.
Oh, it was awesome. It was, anywhere from like 30 to 80 miles a day. There were people of all shapes and sizes. It wasn't like, I was looking like, Armstrong on the bike there or anything. But, camping out at night, staying at mostly like Campers of America and hostels and those kinds of things. But great time. It was a great time to see parts of the country I've never seen before.
That sounds like a cool trip.
Yeah, it does.
And I like to ride my bike, man. I'm a bike rider.
You are.
Yeah.
Big can of thunder.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. Like, people always say, oh, my God, how'd you ride that far? And it's like, well, you ride for about an hour or two in the morning, take a break, then an hour or two in the afternoon, and before you know it, 30, 40 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Huh. That sounds like a hell of a lot better road trip than I had driving down to South Carolina.
There's not much to see there, is there?
No, not a lot.
All right, guys, thanks for your time.
All right, thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. I accidentally put him on hold, Egan. I'm sorry. As far as Thursday night goes, Trey, and we haven't really gotten into this because of we know what do you look for? Like, what is there possibly to look at on Thursday night?
Well, you're looking for, hey, Josh Sweat, we need you to come on down.
Yeah, okay.
Let's see what Keith Miller, what he can continue to bring to the table, being a local one from around the way. So you want to continue to see how he progresses. You want to see what Big Jordan, how he continues to work his way out. Big V. Whatever quarterback that's going to be in there, if it's Thorson or whoever that's going to step in there, how they continue to progress. I mean, there's a lot to still learn from this because I'm not sure how Baltimore is going to approach this with their starters.
Yeah.
But, defensively, you still, have some good tests out there. And I think, I know, of course, we would love to see our starters just come out there and just run a 10-play drive right down their throat and score a touchdown. And then it makes everybody feel like, all right, we're good. But that's not what you're going to see.
Yeah.
You're going to see the twos get out there and get some work. I don't know if BG and Malcolm will bring someone up, do it, come back and play this game again. Maybe they will because they know that the fourth preseason game is usually the one that they've used to sitting out anyway. So maybe this is another game where you have some of the starters step in and play, but I doubt it what you're practicing against these guys. So, there's still things to see. I want to continue to see, Hall. You know, just see how he continues to progress. Another week against some, different tackles. Just seeing how he continues to work his game. So, you know, it's a lot out there that you can still pay attention to.
It's funny. You say you would love to see the starters go in, get a 10-play drive, get out, feel good. The one thing about not playing your starters or your regulars all that much, you're not coming away with bad feelings either.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're not going to leave this preseason saying, oh, my God, did you see what happened there? I have so many questions about this, that, and the other. Because we're not seeing anything. So, I guess on a positive note, you're not going to come away with negativity because you haven't seen them enough to form that opinion. So I don't know. It still just leaves a bad taste in my mouth, and I'm not going to get over it until September 8th when the opening snap happens against those Washington Redskins. Jay in South Jersey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jay?
Hey, how's it going? Great show, folks.
Thanks,
buddy. Want to talk about an issue that's kind of been let go by him personally. Which I do commend him on being the stand-up player, Malcolm Jenkins. I think that he's just as important as bringing the Super Bowl to the city as Nick Foles. He definitely quarterbacked that defense, playing safety, linebacker, corner, whatever, you know, the defense needed. And I think, you know, being a stand-up guy, he didn't hold out. I definitely think, you know, teams win, teams lose, but karma's undefeated. And I think the Lurie family should definitely cut him a check, especially seeing him not, you know, hold out and be there for the team. But I mean, it's simple and plain. No Malcolm Jenkins, no Super Bowl. You can't say that about Carson Wentz. So to not pay him, you're not winning that Super Bowl. There's no way we're winning that Super Bowl.
You can say that about Carson Wentz.
Quarterback in that defense.
Because, Jay, they don't
have. We won the Super Bowl without Carson Wentz.
Yeah, but then
Malcolm Jenkins.
All right. Jay, they don't have a first-round bye and home field advantage without Carson Wentz. You can't say that.
Malcolm Jenkins gave you the ability to go from Carson Wentz to your second-string quarterback.
I love Malcolm Jenkins, and I agree with a lot of what you can't say that about Wentz, though. He has a lot of sweat equity in that ring.
Okay, and I understand your point, but my point is you got to pay that guy. I mean, yeah.
And I agree with you.
And I just think that in the sense of karma, it's going to be hard for the Eagles to have success with that guy walking around not getting paid, and it's just not right. Just quick Philly's point. I think you can see a noticeable difference with Charlie back, and I think that if you look at this in a 2-year scheme, I think the first year has been very successful. I think it would look a lot better if everyone was healthy.
The first year of what, Jay?
The Phillies rebuild as a whole. Bryce Harper's the one part I really don't want to look at. But if you look at it in a 2-year scheme, I think the first year is going pretty good if we can get everybody healthy back. And pray that we can go get the three pitchers that we need, I think we'll be all right moving forward.
All right. Thanks for the call, Jay. Appreciate it. Has it been successful this year? If you're looking, okay, say this offseason was a rebuild, the way Jay put it. Is first year of a rebuild, you shouldn't expect championships if this, in fact, is a rebuild. But has it been successful?
It hasn't been unsuccessful. It hasn't been, I wouldn't call it successful.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call it a failure either.
It's interesting.
It's one of the most frustrating seasons ever.
You could have a 60 win season, and it might not be as frustrating as this one this year, where they might win 80 to 85 games.
Yeah.
Because the expectations were so high, maybe, but also because of the maddening way they play. The inconsistency of this team is just, it's mind-boggling. And he brought up Charlie, and you see differences, do we? I mean, I went on the thing last week. Oh, Charlie, wait, it's Charlie. It's all
the first
needed.
Four games you did.
Yeah, they averaged like eight runs a game. Yeah, no question.
Well, they were being a little more aggressive in the counts. I don't know if that's Charlie per se or whatever, but something changed. And then Saturday, Sunday, right back to the old ways.
Yeah, but they had a closer on the other team throw 27 pitches in the ninth inning, Jane.
That's wonderful.
Even though he struck out the side, that's grinding.
Yeah.
That was good grinding, according to Gabe Kaplan.
Yeah.
I don't know. The stuff that he's just doing anymore, the stuff that he's saying, is just getting maddening anymore. And I I'm done. I'm never going to call for a guy. I'm not saying he needs to be fired, but I can't put up with
it
anymore.
I did the show yesterday, and I was like, all right, you know, the big topic's probably like Gabe talking about hard outs. And I was like, I don't have that energy in
me. I don't think many do.
And that's why I didn't do it. Because I was like, well, one, I got Barrett and Trey here. So let's get in depth with the Eagles, which puts a smile on all of our faces. But I just think the fans are exhausted by him. I think for his own benefit, he needs to stop. He's trying to give his guys confidence. And what he's doing is pissing off the fan base. Mm-hmm. So just stop.
Yeah. And I don't think if he's trying to still appease his players by what he says, and he is totally out of reach if he thinks they're listening.
It's August 20th.
They are not listening to what he has to say after
you
a game.
Talking about how guys grind out at bats and see pitches isn't instilling confidence in them. It's pissing off your fan base, so just stop.
The closer struck out the side in the ninth inning, and he's going on about how good of an inning it was.
Yeah, but Sean Rodriguez is really close to getting his 10-year package from the MLB, so I got to keep him on the team.
Well, good. I'm sure Rodriguez will smile about his package. But you know what else makes you smile? That's right. The Philly Burger Brawl is back, presented by Jim Beam. New date, Sunday, September 15th. New location, Philadelphia Navy Yard. Enjoy unlimited bites of burgers from the top competing restaurants in the city. Plus, there's an incredible cocktail competition featuring Jim Beam Black inside the Jim Beam Bourbon Garden. Proceeds benefit the Philadelphia School District. The event raises money to outfit underserved schools with the latest technology. For more information and to purchase tickets, go to PhillyBurgerBrawl.com. We're talking about the Eagles today, obviously. Also, who's an athlete that you think could make the easy transition from the sport that he plays now to another sport. And we're also talking about road trips. I just had a long one this weekend, and we'd like to hear some of yours. 610-632-0975. Time at the Fanatic, 811.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic, Farzetta and Trey Show. Bob Cooney in for Mark Farzetta. Trey Thomas, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan behind the glass, Sam Wilson on updates. Well, watching some Will Ferrell clips during the break, my eyes are still watering from laughing so hard.
Outtakes from Eastbound and Down. It's some of the funniest stuff I've ever seen.
Ah, plums. I feel it down in my plums. So you were, what's your story with this now? You were at a wedding?
Oh, I went to a wedding on Plum Island once, and I just kept saying, I feel it in my plums all weekend long, and it kind of like spread around Addie's group of friends. Luckily, her friends don't think I'm a weirdo.
Well, you don't know what they really think.
So, we were just all saying plums.
Did
I feel it in my plums.
Did Addie think you were a weirdo? No,
she was dying to.
Yeah?
If she didn't find my sense of humor funny, we'd have real problems, Bob.
Yeah.
We'd have real problems.
I see Addie as more of an eye roller than a laugher at your humor.
No, she's into it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I make her laugh.
I feel like after that video, though, you're going to have a conversation with Donna.
Yeah, how about
making love to my wife, Donna.
Yeah.
With the windows down.
And he turned up 82.
She did not like it.
What did he say? We're making sweet, painful love.
It's my hips thrust down upon Donna.
Oh, God.
Will Ferrell is the
best. You're going to have to show that to Donna later so she doesn't think I'm a weirdo right now.
Too late. I could show her a lot of things. She's still going to think you're a weirdo. 610-632-0975. We're talking Eagles. Can we expect to see anything at all on Thursday night? And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe with not seeing anything, it's okay because you're not going to come out with any negative thoughts. Oh, I'm really concerned about this. I didn't see this in the preseason because we're not seeing anything. So I don't know how many of the starters are going to show their faces on Thursday. Trey, do you think Malcolm and Brandon Graham, do you think those guys will come back out and play again?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, with this being the third preseason game, they know what it's about. Maybe. But I think with them practicing against these guys, that maybe not.
Yeah, really no need for it, I guess, right?
When the third game, when preseason games is, hey, if you feel like it or not.
And you said, I asked you this last week, you said before that if I was the coach and I went to Trey Thomas during playing days and said, do you want to play this third preseason game? It's up to you. Your answer would be?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah, I would want to play, you know, just because I need the timing to win, you know, but then until I get it, you don't want to risk the injury, but then to, like, I like working with my guys and I know that you need to get that conditioning in.
Did an injury ever enter your mind at all?
No.
When you were a player?
No, I didn't think too much about it.
Right? I mean,
once you start thinking about the injury, then you know, it's bound to happen. You just go out there and go play.
That's my biggest scare. Once you start thinking of injury, it's bound to happen.
Uh-huh.
And this injury has been the rule of the Eagles preseason this year.
Yeah.
It's been the overriding thought. It's been their biggest fear. It's gone to the way of how they play or how they haven't played players in preseason games. And that's what bothers me. The more you think about it, Trey, you said it perfectly. And I've always been taught this, and I believe it. The more you think about it, the more you cater to it. That's when these injuries happen. And that's my only concern coming out of training camp so far, is that they're putting such a stress on injury or preventing injury that I don't know. I'm afraid that football gods might be looking down on them and not in a good way. We're seeing a lot of other teams are playing some starters. We're seeing a lot. Jimmy Garoppolo got out there last night for
apparently
the first time.
Pretty
horrible.
Brutal.
Yeah.
1-for-6. I think he had a pick.
Yeah. I saw a little bit of
his confidence
game.
Is not there.
Yeah.
I mean, not even in just the leg, just like his kind of quarterback swag is not there. Said he was making poor decisions last night, and
yeah,
a couple guys were like, yeah, the Garoppolo meter might or panic meter might have gone up a couple notches last night.
Yeah,
because they have an out after this year. Like, it was a huge contract on paper, but I think it only comes out to, I say only, but it was like $42 million guaranteed over 2 years, and then they have like a massive out after this season. So we'll see if the Tom Brady backup thing is real.
Yeah.
If Belichick just makes these guys look great or if he's real deal or not.
Well, I think, too, you know, his office, he was under a lot of pressure. You know, you could tell, like, there was one play where you saw that the tackle got beat inside. I mean, he was constantly, he was under a lot of pressure.
I can't say I'm too familiar with the 49ers offensive line.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And I guess when you come off an knee injury like that, I can't help, and Jamie, you went through it, you can't help but wonder how much more quickly your eyes go down to the offensive line as opposed to your receivers.
Yeah, they said he wasn't looking at seeing the field very well. So, yeah, it's probably, you know, you're not yourself for a while. Even if Carson didn't have the back last year, he still wasn't himself.
No.
It takes you know, even though you can perform, you're still not yourself. So, Carson wasn't himself at the beginning of last year.
No, because you're still testing. You're not doing things naturally. You're thinking about, like Trey said, you don't want to think about injury. But how can you not help it when you come back? Like, you know, Trey, we talked about your back surgery. You know, although it didn't override your feelings, there was a point when you came back where you thought, oh, okay, now I'm okay. Like, I can do this.
You know?
I mean, that's just human nature that you're going to have to test that. And maybe that's a concern that some people have with Carson Wentz. Okay. He hasn't really played without an injury for 2 seasons. You know, because if you think about it, he came back last year off of the knee, and then he played with the broken back for who knows how long, because we don't really know exactly when that all happened. So are you concerned that you're not going to see Carson Wentz in live game action? I mean, it's legitimate if you are. It also means that you have to put a lot of stock into these two practices that they have against Baltimore. One yesterday, another one today, which Jamie is going to attend as soon as he finds out from the Eagles if he's allowed to or not.
and then get a little Popeye's chicken on the way.
Popeye's.
Good job, Bob.
You like that?
You've evolved.
I never knew I said Popeye.
You've been saying Popeye? Like Popeye's?
I say Popeye.
Your entire life you've been saying that?
The cartoon was Popeye. I don't know. I swear
to God. Nobody ever called you on
this? Never. No.
What kind of? I think you need to evaluate your friends and family.
Well, maybe we have a my little sector of South Jersey. We have a little bit of an accent over
do
there.
Do people say Popeyes in South Jersey? 610-632
Popeye. No, the cartoon was Popeye.
Popeye.
That's weird. I don't know. I swear.
You're creeping me out, Bobby.
I know. I'm scaring myself a little bit. But I am going to stop on the way home today at Popeye's and get myself a spicy chicken, right? Yeah,
treat yourself, man. Get you a spicy
chicken.
Pretty
good.
Sandwich.
You had it last night?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Nice little crunch to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm down. I'm going to stop and get one of those on the way home today.
Try one. Yeah.
So are you guys, the concern factor is kind of over. I don't know. Is there any concern that we're not going to see anything tomorrow night? Do you care at all? Do you want to see some starters? Well, I don't think we're going to see Carson. That would surprise me if it's Zach Ertz, Alshon Jeffrey, Deshaun Jackson. But are there some starters that you do want to see tomorrow night that you're still looking forward to?
Some starters?
Any starters that you...
I mean, Ronald Darby apparently was looking... I wouldn't mind seeing like a Ronald Darby type. Apparently he was looking pretty good yesterday. You know... Brandon Brooks, I don't need to see out there.
Well, he can't go anywhere.
Yeah, he's not even cleared yet, but I don't need to see him. Like, I have faith that maybe... I'm pretty confident he'll be there week one. Fletcher Cox, I have no problem not seeing.
Mm-hmm. How about Jason Peters? Because the only reason that interests me is because Trey, at the beginning of preseason, before all this came about... Trey was saying, he should get out there. It would be good for him to get out there.
It wouldn't be bad, but I don't need to see him. Like, it's not going to affect my confidence with Jason Peters one way or the other.
Mm.
But if Trey obviously knows a lot more about left tackle than I do.
Yeah, I'm just looking at with conditioning, timing, just everything that goes on with it. You know, and it's not just Jason Peters. I'm talking about the entire offensive line.
Sure. I mean, what, 3/5, 4/5 of your line hasn't played at all?
Yeah.
Is Sayamalo the only one that's been out there?
I don't even think he's played.
I don't even think he has either.
No, it's been Matt Pryor.
So it's 5/5.
Yeah, none of the starters has played on the offensive line
yet. The starting offensive line has played.
We talked about this yesterday because last year was the trend. All right, well, the Rams didn't play anybody. No starters all preseason. They made the Super Bowl. But guess who, you know, the guy I'd want to model my program after?
Yeah.
They call him the Hoodie.
Yeah.
He's up in New England. He's pretty good at this football thing.
Yeah.
Tom Brady threw 18 passes last year in week 3.
And of the preseason.
Yeah. I can guarantee you he wasn't playing behind backup offensive linemen. And I'm probably, I didn't look at the box score, but I would imagine there were some Edelmans and some of those types out there as well.
Sure. You're not going to put Tom Brady out there without his
Just like
weapons.
You don't put Carson Wentz out there without his offensive line. So
right.
But, you know, it's the two schools of thought. It's the new age NFL where it's like, well, look, the Rams did it. They made it to the Super Bowl and they didn't play anybody. But the Patriots, the blueprint for success in the NFL, they still play people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's probably a middle ground of the two that might be best, but I'm not going to discredit nothing. You know, if Bill Belichick's doing it, it's not nothing. Let me just say that.
Yeah. No question about it.
Like, it's come on. There's something to it. If that guy who's been in, 11 Super Bowls in total?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of Super Bowls, Trey.
I mean, we know in Philadelphia how hard it is to get to a Super Bowl.
That man has been on a coaching staff in 11 of them.
That is amazing.
11. Wow. I believe it's 9 with the Patriots, 2 with the Giants, right?
That is incredible.
So that might be
a model you want to follow?
Yeah, I might follow that model.
Yeah.
It's just 1 week. Like, I get not playing all 4 weeks, but if everybody's ready to go week 3... And the other team's playing their starters? Why wouldn't you want the look?
Yeah, I totally agree. And now I'm
not going to get upset about it because I understand Carson Wentz's backup situation right now. But I mean, if I had my druthers, they play week 3, maybe a quarter.
Yeah. Mm. And I think it is weird that you have a team come in and you're going against each other in practice for 2 days, and then you're going to play a game on Thursday night against each other. I mean, that's kind of strange. It's like sparring with somebody and then you're fighting them, you know, a couple of nights later. That just seems odd to me. But what isn't odd is you can win a trip for 4 to Disney's NBA experience. That's right. You love the game of basketball. Well, now it's time to live it. Take your shot at the all-new NBA experience at Walt Disney World Resort with a special Fanatic giveaway. There are two ways to enter. Go to 975thefanatic.com. go to the contest page and enter to win. Sorry, lost my place. Or go to FanFest 2019 on Saturday, and on-site there will be a register to win area. That's right. FanFest is this Saturday.
Woo!
It is going to be gorgeous out, 80 degrees and sunny.
This will be the fifth straight year, hopefully, of perfect weather.
Yeah, last year was hot. I remember last year being a little bit hot. And
Big Can of Thunder was sweating a little bit.
Big Can of Thunder was sweating.
Of Thunder was hot, man.
And we had a meeting yesterday about it. Mine was on the phone. Your guys was in person, and I know one of the things that they addressed, Trey, was to make sure that they had tents for us when we're standing around in the sun.
Okay.
So you're going to be good to go.
All right.
Maybe even a fan.
That would work.
I'm thinking Egan might have to bring a fan and plug it in and have it ready for a Big Can of Thunder when he's out there meeting and greeting people.
Yeah. And by the way, our buddy Ruin today tweeted in. He said, I grew up in Boston Bob's area, and it's always been pronounced Popeyes, not Popeyes.
So you grew up in my area?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You're alone. Yeah, I guess I am. Maybe it was just the Cooney house that did the Popeyes.
You don't have your children saying it this way, do you?
I don't recall any of my children saying. I don't know. I can't get in touch with any of them right now.
If you're telling your kids it's Popeyes, I'm worried about your family.
Maybe we should make a call to Kyle. He's the only one that we can reach right now. I don't even know how I'd get him to say Popeyes.
Popeyes.
Say, hey, Kyle, say Popeyes.
Popeyes, Bob.
No, you can't tell somebody to say a word because then they'll say it the way you say it.
He dated olive oil in a famous cartoon show. What's his name, Kyle?
There you go.
Popeyes.
Popeye. It's Popeye.
Popeye.
I say it like I'm French. Popeye. Don't you think
Popeye could have done better than olive oil?
I'm thinking so.
Right?
I think anybody can do better than olive oil.
She had no hips, no ass, nothing.
No, she was gross.
Yeah,
olive oil. She was built like this.
Yeah, she was built like a pencil.
She had a good personality, guys.
Not really.
She was kind of a bitch.
Actually, yeah, she was constantly playing the two guys, wasn't she?
She was leading him on, going up. Yeah.
What was the big meathead dude's name?
I forget, but he had the bad mustache, right?
Yeah. And olive oil played him all the time, didn't she?
Man, I hate olive oil.
Yeah.
I like Popeye better.
Jamie Lynch is picking apart classic movies like
Dirty Dancing,
like Dirty Dancing and Popeyes.
Now, the line of the week had to be Egan yesterday saying he went after a girl named Baby. Her name wasn't Adulty.
That was terrific.
Patrick Swayze movie, 610-632-0.
He's dead.
There was a documentary on him the other night.
Oh, was it? Swayze.
Did you watch it?
I didn't watch it. I saw that it was on.
Yeah.
You didn't dive in, huh?
No, I know.
And by the way, a little quick TV review here in about 10 seconds. I watched the new Righteous Gemstones on HBO, the Danny McBride movie, new show. About the Southern evangelical like preacher millionaire family.
If you like
interesting, if you like dark comedies, it's for you.
Really?
Yeah, it's great.
Okay.
All right. So that was my 10-second TV review for you.
What else did you have this weekend? Was there any binge watching at the Jamie Lynch household?
Mindhunter season 2 we started.
Oh.
It's about the guy that developed basically the serial killer program for the FBI.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Huh. And Hard Knocks season 3 tonight. I'm excited for that one.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Hopefully, Trey,
no Hard Knocks for you.
No, I don't watch Train Kids.
Even with Gruden. Because he intrigues you, doesn't he?
Yeah, I like the first little speech he had. And after that, I'm like, all right.
Hopefully, they don't do too much on Antonio Brown because I'm completely exhausted by that situation.
Yeah. I don't want to play in training camp and call it.
Just find me.
I'll be there week 1, but I don't have to make up all these excuses. Just let me.
Yeah, I'm Antonio Brown, damn it. And I'm going to miss training camp, all right?
Yeah. Why not? Nothing wrong. Did you see what Gruden said after watching the first few episodes or a couple episodes of Hard Knocks?
No.
He came out and apologized. He said, I don't think I curse all that much.
So he said in the second episode, he's on the sidelines and it's a moment where they're zoomed in on him and he's just talking to himself, maybe into the headset. And he goes, man, you got to stop cussing so much.
Really?
Yeah. So I guess he's trying to be conscious of.
I was wondering where that came from. Like why he said that. Yeah.
Yeah, so
it was a weird thing to say.
So he comes out, a couple days ago.
I guess he watched the first two episodes and he said,
I really don't curse that much. He said, I think they use it all the time because it does happen.
Well,
because
you assume when you see a guy like Gruden that he's letting F-bombs fly like crazy in practice.
Uh-huh. Right.
That's just the assumption because you're judging the book by the cover. You're like, oh, that guy curses.
Yeah, but sometimes a curse word just brings it home.
Oh, yeah. It really ties that sentence together.
Yeah. Especially when you use it infrequently. You know, if you're teaching kids or whatever, if you don't use it all that frequently, once you do, it really does. And then it brings the point of emphasis home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's why I always thought cursing, if you're a college coach, a high school coach, if you do it a lot, it's wasted. You know, I don't think you should curse in high school anyway, but like college coaches, if they're constantly, it's just, I don't know. I don't know if kids take to it all that much. So what do you think about the Eagles Thursday night? Do you have to see something? Because we haven't seen anything. We probably aren't going to see anything.
But by the way, I have a National Geographic article here that says science says swearing is good for you.
Yeah.
Get the bleep out of here. Yeah. Really?
I think I sent you something one time where it says your friend.
Why? Why is it good for you?
I'll have to research.
I don't know.
I'll have to dive into this article, Bob.
Yeah.
So it says if you curse or if you're around, if you curse, it's good. If you swear, it's good for you?
The slug under the title says cursing masks pain and builds relationships at work.
Wow. Well, then we have strong relationships here at work.
Yeah, we're pretty good. We're solid.
Yeah, we're not that bad. We're pretty good at the cursing thing. 610-632-0975. Talking about the Eagles mostly.
Including,
that's all right.
Increasing your tolerance for pain.
Mm. What? Well,
I was going to say, Tristan, when he was getting the
pain medicine for the surgery,
let a couple curses fly.
Trey
corrected him. He was actually just building his pain tolerance.
Yeah.
He did. And forming a relationship.
Yeah, forming a relationship.
See that? You owe Tristan an apology.
No, I don't.
610-622-0975. Talking Eagles. Also, an athlete. An athlete that plays one sport. Do you think he might be able to play another one? And also, I had a long, beautiful road trip this weekend in a car, 24 out of 50 hours.
With Donna.
With Donna. And Tommy was there the whole ride, too.
Nice.
Yeah. Took a son back to college, South Carolina. So tell us about a great road trip that you've had. 610-632-0975. Time at the Fanatic, 840.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
The Fanatic Morning Show. Farzetta and Trey.
Today, Junior.
You good?
Mm-hmm.
Mark Farzetta out today. Bob Cooney, I'm sitting in for Mark. We got Trey Thomas, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan behind the glass, Sam Wilson on updates. So, Jamie will get over to practice today. Hopefully at some point he'll get word that he's allowed to go over to practice.
Oh,
but he'll go
if
over.
If not, I'll be creeping through the bushes.
He'll go over and check things
out
guys.
Today.
Yeah. But for most, we don't get to see anything.
No.
We see nothing
and
in preseason.
It still bothers me.
We were not allowed to see practices except for one, which was basically a warm-up session for an hour. And then maybe a little bit of football after that. So we have to rely on those who are in the know every day, those who get to see practice every day of what's going on. And yesterday, as every day at 4:10, Tim McManus was on with Anthony Gargano, who's filling in for Mike Missanelli. And the topic was Carson Wentz. And here's what Tim McManus had to say about Carson Wentz getting ready to get ready for the season.
My gut feeling with Carson is that he is ready to take a step forward in his development as he enters year four as a quarterback. What I'm hearing from like Mike Groh, just the offensive coordinator, just talked about it today, and Darren Sproles echoed the same thing to me, is that you're seeing a Wentz that is processing the offense quicker, that when he sees something post-snap, he's able to kind of, with the mental Rolodex, get to it faster than he has in the past. And things are just moving more mentally quicker for him. So I think that what you're going to see is a little bit more of a mature quarterback that might take a little bit of time to work out during the course of the regular season. But I think once it clicks, it's going to click in a pretty big way.
Trey, if there's anything about Carson Wentz that you wanted to see, maybe that you haven't seen, or where his maturity goes next, is it more of a physical thing or is it more of a mental thing?
Well, it's going to be a little bit of both. You're going to need to see mentally if he's able to spread the ball around to the other players, get everybody else involved. Don't just lean on Ertz. You know, are you going to be able to mix everybody into your game plan, not just finding just your favorite receiver? Physically, I think there's to show that, all right, your body is back healthy, that you're going to be able to step into your throws, that you're not concerned about your back or any other issues or your knee. So, you know, that's pretty much what you're looking for out of him.
And it seems like that's what he's doing. When Tim McManus comes out and says, it appears he's making his reads quicker than he ever has before and he's more confident in that, I think that's the one hurdle, in air quotes, that he had to get over. And if he's doing that, that just makes you believe that 2017 season is going to be the norm, perhaps.
Yeah, he needs to get in the habit of throwing his receivers open and not waiting until they're open.
Especially with Alshon, because that's his game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and you made that point last year, that he was waiting. Oh, he's open now. Now I'm going to throw the ball. Mm-hmm. As opposed to when the cut's being made, reading that, okay, now's when it's open.
Yeah, just take what you can get. You know, it's not you're not sitting there waiting. You just, all right, let's read the defense, take what you can get, and bam, you just keep moving. It's not about the big home run play all the time, holding on to the ball, waiting for his guys to really break free. You know, you throw your guys open. That's why I say, you know, if you're going to watch film of somebody, watch Tom Brady and watch how he delivers the ball. I mean, it's not sitting back there patting the ball. Okay, there he is. He gets the ball, boom, there you go. Go. Just stay ahead of the downs. Let your playmakers make plays, and you do what you're supposed to do as a quarterback, command the offense, get everybody on the same page, and then you just keep moving forward.
And Trey, the more he does that, to me it seems like if you're throwing on the cut, if you're hitting the man on the run, that's going to lead to more yards after catches, right?
Exactly, because now your playmakers, if you're throwing them open, and then they can go and do what they're supposed to do. You know, Zach Ertz is the only one that doesn't have a lot of yak.
Yeah.
He's not one of those yak guys.
I've been told he's working on it.
That's really.
Yeah. He's working on it.
Like turning and like, I'll catch the ball and turn.
Guess who he's working on it with?
Who?
Deuce Staley.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he said he knows that that's a deficiency in his game. He said he knows he has to learn how to catch the ball and run with it after catches. So he went to Deuce.
Yeah.
And he and Deuce have been doing some one-on-one to improve his yards after the catch. If he improves that, if he becomes good at that, because I wouldn't classify him as good at it right now. If he becomes good at that, it's unbelievable the numbers he could post.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, he's going to be, not to fast forward through the season, he's going to be an interesting one to see what happens.
Because?
Cap number, like, doubles next year.
Oh, okay.
Never in terms of skill set.
You're putting on your Howie hat.
Yeah.
All right. And he could be expendable. You hate to say, like, we're getting into something we probably don't even want to get into.
But it's going
to
be interesting, his future here.
It sure is. I mean, cap number, you have another guy who's pretty good tight end right behind him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait to see how they use the two of them this year.
Why can't you keep both tight ends?
No, you can.
You can, but when you're a tight end carrying a $13.4 million cap hit, it might be Restructureville.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, I mean, Howie's always good at restructuring and finding a way to guarantee money up front and, you know, back end, you know, unloading it, but we'll see.
And as outside the box thinking as Howie is, if he were to do something like that, that's not his MO as long as he's been here, trading a star.
No.
In their prime.
No.
No.
Where other teams might do it because it's beneficial on your salary cap, maybe what you can use that money for, whatever it may be. That doesn't seem to be Howie's MO. No. I don't see Zach Ertz. I understand what you're saying, and I said it also before, but I don't see Zach Ertz being traded from here.
It just wouldn't shock me, is all. I don't think it's going to happen. But it wouldn't. If I saw that headline one day in the near future, I'd be like, "Oh, okay."
Because you know it's a good business move.
Well, depends how you define it. I mean, just from a salary cap number, it's nice to free up 13. I have to see what his dead number is, but it, you know, roughly 13. It's like, oh, all right. I can see why you would make that move.
Yeah, but I wouldn't.
But tight end also seems to be like the new direction for a lot of teams, because I think they're realizing how big of a mismatch it is with tight ends versus linebackers in this league. I mean, Belichick's been on this since he drafted the murderer out of Florida. You know, those Gators.
Yeah.
But he's seen the, you know, the benefits of two tight end sets and the mismatches they create for a long time. And luckily, the Eagles got ahead of the curve, and they're in an amazing spot to thrive with it.
I would have more of a feeling of then okay, only because he's been so productive.
Yeah, I'm not saying that business wise, but
I want that. I don't want that to happen.
Right,
but
right.
And guys that carry big cap casualties or cap casualties is what I call them, big cap numbers. You got a target on your back.
Yeah,
and unless you're a quarterback or basically a tackle or you know a Fletcher Cox, you're kind of expendable in this league, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, there's really only like a couple positions that are, you know, you can't deal without. The rest you can kind of make do.
Yeah. Isn't it funny the way we look at sports now? It's just totally different.
Well, there's so much information out there.
That's exactly what it is.
And look up their the exact details of their contract.
Right.
The dead number hit, when it escalates, when the team can get out of it. Like Jimmy Garoppolo, I was looking at his contract this morning. I was like, oh, well, the Niners have an out after this year, so if they don't like him, they'll move on.
Yeah. And what's Garoppolo getting this year?
It depends. He got like $4 million from the Patriots last year. Basically, the 2 years with the Niners, he's going to make like $42
million. Oh, okay.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
It was a startling contract on paper, but then when you actually break it down, it's like, oh, okay, it was really only like a 3-year deal.
Yeah, that's it.
All you can look at is
$42 million guaranteed over 2 years, Trey.
Mm-hmm. All you can look at with contracts is guaranteed money, because the rest is pretty much meaningless.
Smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
It was funny. I was looking up in prepping for the show, This Day in Sports.
Yeah.
You know,
Anything exciting happen?
Dan Marino signed a contract This Day in Sports to become the highest paid quarterback. He overtook Joe Montana with his contract.
$1.2
million? $25 million over 5 years. $5 million. And he became the highest paid quarterback in the NFL at the time. Yeah.
That has to kill the older guys.
Well, not older guys, even guys that have been out only a few years like Trey.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at these contracts with a little bit of, are you serious? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, I mean, but that's just the nature of the game, though. I mean, you know, it's always going to increase. It's never going to go back down.
Yeah. No, nor should it.
Yeah.
No. And
but
if you're Marino, you're like, damn.
Yeah, but the
$5 million
Trey,
at my piece.
Yeah. But the way Carson looks at it is
Carson Wentz is getting 35 this year.
Yeah,
or
this
whatever.
Year.
I think it's next year. Whatever.
Exactly. In a year, he's getting.
Yeah. Like,
but I love the way Trey looks at it. He's good for them. Trey says, "You know, good for them.
Yeah, good for them.
Get the money.
Yeah.
There's no animosity on Trey's side.
No, not at all.
Yeah. So, as far as Thursday night goes, I don't.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.